Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So I want to start with some context by briefly talking about the last two mainline Final Fantasy games, 14 and 15, because the circumstances behind their creation are a complete mess. So 14 had to be scrapped and reworked from the ground up after it launched, while 15 started development as Final Fantasy Versus 13 a decade before it launched. And the remaining DLC was canceled after the director of that game left the company. So they have not had a great track record in the past decade with, a smooth production. It's weird that a production with a global pandemic in the middle is relatively smooth compared to what came before. And, you know, I was looking at Hajime Tabata was the guy who directed Final Fantasy XV. And when I was still in the press, I interviewed him. And shortly after that, I don't think it was my fault, he left Square Enix to form his company, JP Games. And I was wondering, like, what happened to him and what he did after that. Well, his only release at this point was 2021's The Pegasus Dream Tour. It was an iOS and Android game. It was the first Paralympics video game, but it was playable for all of 6 months because their license expired. But that's where Hajime Tabata is, and he was the steward of the Final Fantasy series for a bit of time there at Square. Like, he was going to be the next leader of that brand before he noped out of the company. And, you know, I looked into the details behind the development, and based on what Square Enix has revealed publicly, they're kind of boring. I'm sure there's a lot more interesting stuff they're not telling us. But, after 14 and 15, they were probably happy to have a mainline Final Fantasy game that wasn't an absolute nightmare to produce. And the people behind this game are the very uncreatively named Creative Business Unit 3. I really hate Square's studio names, because when you see that, when you pop in a Square game, it inspires no confidence. I imagine just a very boring open office boardroom with a big table and the little speakerphone in the center. It doesn't make me think of like adventure and fantasy and colorful characters and monsters. It's just Creative Business Unit 3.
Business Unit 2.
Exactly.
They're busy.
Why are they number 3?
Well, you know, there's
that production logo pops up and you're like, just call it, I don't know, Sword Hit Studios or something. Some fun internal name.
Yeah. Name them like Shiva, Ifrit, Titan, Corey, sorry.
Perfect.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was doing some research kind of prepping for this, and apparently the CEO of Square Approach, Naoki Yoshida, a.k.a. Yoshi P., who's the guy who produced this, but then also has been at the helm of Final Fantasy 14. He's kind of credited with like giving it the rebirth and rebrand into a Realm Reborn. But apparently the main reason they went with Creative Business Unit 3 is because Creative Business Unit 1, also not very creative name, they were busy with Final Fantasy 7 Remake at the time. And I want to say this was like
That's correct,
2015.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently there used to be a lot more creative business units. And then I think it was like either 2018 or 2019, they were consolidated into a smaller number of creative business units, but that nomenclature still holds true today.
Yeah. In fact, it was more boring before they were consolidated, because Creative Business Unit 3 used to be Business Division 5. Less interesting. And yeah, like you said, Corey, this is basically the Final Fantasy 14 studio. And also, weirdly enough, the Dragon Quest Builders studio, they also made those games. Strange. Those games are really good, by the way, but I don't associate FF14 with anything close to that. But yeah, this game took between 7 to 8 years to produce, which, terrifyingly seems like a normal development cycle for a game like this. I think without COVID, maybe it would have been 5 or 6 years, but who can say? And yeah, to give the basic details about this game, like you said, Corey, production kicked off in 2015. before the release of Final Fantasy 15. And at this point in time, Naoki Yoshida, known by cool people as Yoshi-P, was approached by Square Enix to lead the charge on a new mainline Final Fantasy game. And of course, this is the guy that not only raised Final Fantasy 14 from the dead, he also pulled in people like me who had never played an MMORPG. I am an on and off player of this game, and it is a fantastic game and very, very friendly to new players. But at this time in FF14's history, development of the first expansion, Heavensward, was wrapping up, and Yoshi-P was a very busy man. And, you know, just reading about the development of this game and what's going on in his life in the back half of the 2010s, in the first half of the 2020s, he seems like perhaps the busiest game developer on the planet. So Yoshi-P, which is what I'll call him because he's cool, and I talked to him a few times, he wraps up development on Heavensward. He pulls away some key members of the 14 staff. He finds replacements to work on Stormblood, the next DLC. And, you know, realistically, he knows he can't lead development of 14 and 16, so he takes a producer role on 16 instead of directing the game. So, like I said, he must have been one of the busiest guys in Japanese games development. And when I was in the press, I interviewed him like two or three times, and it blows my mind that he was secretly leading up development of FF16 while I was interviewing him about FF14, while he was looking very, very tired and jet-lagged at E3 or another, or GDC perhaps, on the West Coast.
And now you know why.
Do either of you have any experience with Yoshi-P or his games or anything like that?
I have no personal experience with him. I have played a decent amount of Final Fantasy 14, and I think particularly what drew me to it was that I was very big on Final Fantasy 11 back in the day, which is largely the spiritual predecessor. It was Square's first foray into like MMORPGs, and obviously they're like quite different games, but I do think there's something like very refreshing about his approach to the Final Fantasy storytelling. Like, I think in a lot of the press that he did for 16, he talked a lot about like, well, kind of the big picture stuff of like, what does it mean to be a Final Fantasy game? And he really wears his heart on its sleeve when it comes down to like what he perceives as a Final Fantasy game. And interestingly enough, it is like a much more classical approach. A lot of the more popular entries in the series are these sort of futuristic but still magical dystopian sorts of worlds, but obviously 14 and also 16, they are much more kind of like medieval, like high fantasy approaches. And I think that that was kind of like a bit of a refreshing pivot from a lot of the more modern Final Fantasy games that we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah, you're not driving around in a car with your boys in this game. Although I did love 15 and I played like 130 hours of it, but it's such a drastic shift in tone. And yeah, this choice really inspired confidence in the audience, because Yoshi-P is a semi-public figure when it comes to game development. He's very personable. He's very hands-on with development of 14, very communicative with the audience. Like, he is kind of like the friendly mascot of the MMO, and people love him for that. So it was a good choice. I feel like he is like the kind of secret celebrity at Square. The person everyone loves to see out on the stage, you know, doing YouTube videos and so on.
And he does a lot of really great cosplay, right? As like bona fide Final Fantasy 14 characters, like with the sword and the costumes, yeah, and everything.
And if you see him just at a convention, he is very stylish, despite looking very tired.
He also kind of looks like a Final Fantasy character in the way he dresses sometimes. Like I could imagine him wearing exactly what Noctis wears in his default garb.
You think he might give you a quest if you talk to him. unfortunately, my quest was writing up an interview and posting it online. Not very interesting, but the interview was great.